Hello, this is Les Brown, Mrs. Mamie Brown's baby boy, and you're listening to David Wood on the Kick-Ass Life Show. Listen, continue to listen, and you'll discover your greatness.
Kick-Ass.
Whoa,
that's Kick-Ass.
Welcome to the Kick-Ass Life.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Well, top of the morning to you, and welcome to the Ask Dave and Jen show, which is designed to put a little smile on your face, a little spring into your step, and allow me to give you a little boot in the body, a little kick in the rump, or as I like to call it, a kick in the arse. And as I always start, I start with a few fun facts, but first I should say good morning. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
She's a little bit further away. We'll be moving the mic backwards and forwards. We still haven't found out how to give her a mic yet. I think I'm going to have to put my hand in my pocket and buy her own microphone so that she can sit over the... No, don't look like that. She's looking all excited right now. Do you know if you eat a polar bear liver, you'll die? Apparently humans can't handle that much vitamin A. I wonder who found it out the first time. Well, like a little piece of liver, honey. Oh, honey, wake up. Anyway, using your phone while it's charging can damage the battery. I didn't know that. I've done that many, many times. And this is why the cords for chargers are so short. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. So anyway, what about this one? Cherries can cause cancer cells to kill themselves. What's that all about? Why? Next time, it put me off cherries when I read that. Oh, I wonder if it's in the process of creating cancer for itself. I'm not eating that. Now, what about pistanthrophobia? Pistanthrophobia is a common fear of trusting people due to past experiences with relationships gone bad. I'm thinking there's a few pistants out there. What are you thinking? There's a few of you that are holding on to things like that. And do you realize there's a theatre in Paris that showed the movie Life of Pi in floating boats? So they flooded the... Look at that picture. Is that an awesome picture, Jen?
That's incredible.
Yes. And my last fun fact, do you realize this? Sunflowers can be used to clean up radioactive waste. They're able to extract pollutants, including radioactive metal components. Or contaminants, not components. I can't read and put my head in a mic like this. Through their roots and store them in their stems and leaves, making them the international symbol of nuclear disarmament. Did you know that? Did you know? She looks stunned. I stunned her. You know what's going to happen right now? I've decided that we're going to start, before we hear from Jen, we're going to have a little music. This is the long weekend.
And the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Jen, the sunlight's playing on your hair.
She just... I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
Are you ready? Are you going to sing, Jen?
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the exaltations. I'm picking up
Hey, it's Saturday morning here. We're having a little bit of fun. You know what's really funny? Somebody from the show that we met on the show is coming here for the weekend. How's that? Somebody we met on the show, they decided to, get involved with... We keep offering people to help them, recreate their financial life and get into a vehicle at work. Well, these people said yes. And this is the second or third time we met. The third time, and they're coming for the weekend. We have to get the spare room ready for them. Anyway, so Jen, we should get this show under the road. What's going on? Hold on, we've got to move the mic now. We've still got this whole mic moving thing. Hold on.
Happy long weekend. First, Dave, I just want to remind you that you don't need to use your accent anymore.
Oh, I keep forgetting that.
All right, let's get down to our questions. Our first question's from our good friend Paula Cluett. Hello, Paula. You want to do your East Coast accent for Paula?
Well, it's a little bit like the Irish, really, right? I mean, I'm from Newfoundland, right? Newfoundland. I can do a little Irish. It's Irish and Newfie. It's close. It's a little softer. I'm from St. John's. St. John's. That's right. Hello, everyone in St. John's.
Hi, Paula.
You don't need to yell. You're right there. You can just speak.
That is how I speak.
But I've got the headset on.
Anyway, Paula's asking, I have practiced forgiveness in the area of my life with the person in my life that has caused me the most pain. I'm in such a good place, I could pinch myself. My challenge is that source of pain continues to create havoc in my life and my family members, even though it doesn't cause me to react anymore. How do I continue to maintain the relationship when they never seem to get it? And to be honest, at this point, I truly believe they never will. I tell them my boundaries and stick by them, but again and again, they either try to put the pain to me or either family members. Your lovable, huggable friend.
Aww. Paula, little Paula. Well, you know, this is a great question, and it's something I had to learn personally. When I first started doing this work, and I talk about immediate forgiveness and my ability to be able to go into toxic places and not get sucked into them. But the big question there is, you know, this attachment we have to what it should look like. So stop shooting on them. And, you know, they're... When you do a lot of forgiveness work, you suddenly have to do things. In fact, I've got some shows coming up where we're talking about this. I have a really, really beautiful show with a couple coming up, and we'll talk about this because it's all about that gift within. But everyone I know who lives great lives and are really good at you know, moving through their stuff and doing, you know, contributing in a great way in life, have learned how to not only forgive, but have no expectations about the person they're forgiving suddenly changing or acting differently, because they won't. And that's what I had to do. You know, when I was holding on to a lot of anger and hatred around my family. And, you know, I'd been backpacking for 10 and a half years. And, you know, and I sort of skimming through relationships. And one girl I was dating said, you know, if you don't do something about this, she said, you're going to end up just a lonely, sad old man. I said, well, you know, and obviously what it was, I just had a big cage around my heart, letting no one in. And so she told me, she said, you know, what I would do is I'd go back to England and I'd speak to everyone in your life and tell them your truth. But here's the goal that she told me. She said, don't be attached. They're probably not going to, some of them will deny it. Some of them won't do anything about it, and some of them will shrug their shoulders and just deny it, right? And so you've got this whole idea that I went there with no expectations that suddenly something would change. And just because you change doesn't mean that they are necessarily going to change. What's going to happen over time is, if you don't keep getting sucked in, one of two things will happen. They will start to shift slowly, and only if you take the focus off of them, they'll shift slowly. Or they'll leave. They won't hang around you anymore. They'll find it too painful for them because they have no impact. The negativity that they live life through and the lens that they see through, you won't fit into that lens anymore. So right now they can suck you in. You know, and I don't know if you ever heard the story, you know, when you boil crabs, you know, when a crab tries to climb out the pot, the other crabs will, you know, pull them back in. And it's a phenomenon which you guys on the East Coast probably know all about. You know, but that's what happens, right? Negative people will try and pull you back into that boiling pot. And so you got to forgive with no expectation of change on their part and continue focusing on what it is you want, focusing on the bright light in your life. And when you're around them, again, don't let it bother you. And I mean, I have to do that still with family members that just annoy the crap out of me, but they don't. You know, I've got to a place where they don't. And you're right, they may never change, but your job is not to change them. Your job is to change you. And as you change you, then you're going to attract more great people into your life, like Jen, who you become great friends with, and me, right? And that's what's going to happen. More and more great people will show up. So did that answer that, Jen? What do you think? Moving the mic.
Yeah, I think that was great. Oh, I hope Paula gets it answered. That's who it's most important. All right.
Hold on. Whoa. What do you think? A little music?
A little music interlude.
It's a long weekend.
Our happy times together we spending. I wish that every kiss was never ending. Oh, wouldn't it be nice? Maybe if we think and wish and pray it might come.
Alrighty, our next question is a quick one from Tara Long, who I believe is in Hawaii. She asks, will you be doing another Belize event in the near future or any other events where listeners are welcome?
Well,
aloha.
That's really interesting because we got, November, December, I'm doing Good to Great, which is an advanced trainer training. I think, you know, what's going to happen is we're going to create a whole platform for the listeners as far as the Adventure Club, the Kick-Ass Life Adventure Club, which I've held off on. I was asked to hold off on by somebody I'm doing a contract for. They just thought it would be distracting for some of the people I'm already working with. So, but we know there'll be a Kick-Ass Life Adventure Club. There will definitely be a Kick-Ass Life mega event every year where we'll bring in some of the trainers and speakers that you've fallen in love with. That definitely is going to be a big plan. And that's what I'm saying is a lot shifting right now. I'm just chatting with, and I've met a really beautiful guy. Hi, Casey. We're sort of talking a little bit about maybe having him come in and help and really manage the business of this, which will allow us to fulfill all of these dreams. Because obviously as a visionary, there's a lot of things I do well, and there's some things I just don't have time to do. So to be able to really bring this to the world the way I want, we're going to have to, you know, build a really solid team. And, you know, whether it's the Kick-Ass Life Adventure Club, whether it's programs themselves, whether it's the books, whether it's the a sort of community, which is, like having a site where, you know, an access site where, you know, people can come in and have a deeper level of access. And, it would be something where we would be able to go a lot further and work deeper, and it wouldn't be open to the public. It would be open to specific people who want to come and invest in that. Whatever it is, you know, whether it's the philanthropy or the contribution aspect of what we want to do, there's all these, and the podcasts and the videos that we can create. There's a whole thing going on. So, you know, any ideas you have, any expertise you have, you know, I'm welcome. I know I had a guy this morning just Facebook me and say, look, you know, I'm an expert in this area, and if you want some help, you know, let me know, right? And so, yeah, we're looking for help. We're looking for this idea that, you know, to bring this to the world on a very, very large scale, because guess what? It's needed. So, yeah, great question. And over to you. What do you think?
I'm excited.
Whoa!
Woo! Oh!
You're going to get around on the Adventure Club. Programs all around the world. Imagine. There's some great ideas going on in our minds here. How do you want to change the world?
We always take my car because it's never been beat. And we've never missed yet with the girls we meet.
Okay, so our next question is from Andrew Redelmeyer. Hopefully I pronounced your last name correctly. Andrew, hello. You're a new listener to the show. We're really excited to have you. And Andrew says he's loving the show and wants to know, besides being kick-ass, what do you do for an income, David?
Well, Jen and my... some of you don't like the word ex, but I'm using it. And I can say former for my good friend here who gave me some advice on that. But Pam and Jen just disappeared for the last few days shopping in the States. So this is Jen sitting next to you and my ex-wife. So they buggered off and had a great time shopping. So I do need to have multiple streams of income just to keep up with her spending sprees. income is one thing. I think what a lot of you got to understand is, you know, most of us are not conditioned to create wealth, and most of us are not conditioned to have our money work. We're conditioned to make money and spend it. And if you listen to my show the other day with Chris, you know, you'll realize, you know, he talked about the gumball machine and talked about how the rich people will buy a gumball machine and sell gumballs for a penny, for 25 cents that they buy for a penny, and with that money go and buy the toys they want. And, you know, Mike and I just did that recently. We have a lot of real estate investments, but one of them we just refinanced because it has really strong cash flow, and we're able to buy ourselves a beautiful 6-acre parcel on a beautiful lake here where we live at the Okanagan. And the investment paid for the the actual purchase, and then it looks after the mortgage as well from this one investment. So we didn't use any of our own cash. So obviously there's income derived from my real estate, which is one. I consult, I'm an expert in the industry of network marketing, and I'm a real believer because it really does transform people. And most people who are scared of it are the ones that need to be transformed because they've dabbled. They didn't really take a professional approach or treat it like a real business. So I have a consulting income, which is very, very nice. Obviously, I believe in network marketing, so I have a network marketing income from I believe everyone who listens should have multiple streams of income. And I could go on and on and on. And, you know, there's everything I build. I mean, this particular brand will derive multiple streams of income within this one brand, which is the Kick-Ass Life. And although I do 80% of my work for free, or most of what I do, I do for free. From all the things, and the reason I can do so much for free is because I have so many other strong incomes that come in. There's a whole list. There's a whole slew of different incomes that come in. And I'm always looking at when I purchase something, like right now, we're just looking at a commercial building in on the East Coast. With that was to, again, create a long-term cash flow. So it's not me working, it's my money working. So most of the money I make, I invest, and from the investments is what we live off. So that's so create a golden goose or multiple golden gooses. Hope that answers it.
Can I just ask though, Dave, because Andrew's new to the show, do you want to share a little bit about how you got started and where you've come from and how you got to where you are now?
That's a longer show. Maybe what we should do is do a whole show on that because you've got a lot of questions. But how long do we have left? I left school at 15, Andrew, and I was an angry little kid, and I was a chimney sweep, and I cleaned windows, and I worked in pubs, and I cleaned factories, and so I did a lot of manual labor stuff, and I ended up doing a 10 and a half year journey around the world, which was kind of unexpected and not planned, and ended up in Canada. What really changed me and helped me start create wealth was when I stepped into network marketing because, I arrived here with no money, no friends, no contacts, no nothing, no CV. And I had to, I arrived in Canada and I slept on a roof the first night and I wasn't legal to work here. And, and I had to create a life, and it wasn't that long ago. And so that was the door opener. And then I've done really well in conventional business and grown multiple multi-million dollar companies, which I've sold over the time. But, I just keep getting better and better at what I do and my understanding around money, which, I grew up with a very, very, in a very, very poor place by Western standards in poverty, which is, real poverty by Western standards, which was pretty horrendous. But, so I had a poverty mindset mother and my father, I always joke, and we're friends, by the way. I said he's tighter than a duck's ass and that's watertight. So he has this kind of fear around money and doesn't like spending it. So I have somebody who's a hoarder and somebody who's a complete spender as my models of finances. So it took me a long time to realize that I could recreate my own financial blueprint. And sometimes I still suffer with that. I can be a little bit of a spender sometimes and I don't ever suffer with hoarding, but that's why I put my money to work right away so I don't get tempted to go buy something bigger. And I drive an old car. My car's almost 7 or 8 years old. I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all, right? But I realize that's not where I can create wealth is by driving a fancy car every year, right? And a lot of people get trapped in that. So help. Hold on. Time for a song.
Yeah.
That was a lot of work.
She makes the Indy 500 look like a Roman chariot face. A lot of guys try to catch her, but she leads them on a wild goose chase.
All right, baby.
That reminds me that when we were kids, we used to surf on the ironing board. It's dangerous. Don't try it at home. All right, our next question.
Especially when the iron's on.
next question's from Melanie Boots. Hello, Melanie. Melanie's asking, when in your interview with Sandra Yancey, you stated that fear sounds like anger. I realized that perhaps my teenager's ranting attitude is rooted in fear of her ever-changing life, and she doesn't even realize this. My question to you, as the parent that is subject to her sometimes nasty attitude, how can I best support and encourage her, knowing that her anger stems from fear?
Well, again, there's a lot of I'm not an expert, and you know, I think it's easier for me to coach people with their own kids. But I mean, I get trapped with my own sons, and I fall into the same trap you do. I think a lot of parents do. I do have some friends who are very, very enlightened parents, and never ever step into that place. And because of that, they have these very, very joyful and very, very bright children who are just so very, very happy. So I know that the constant chastising of children and anger and whatever, and obviously she's going through hormone. I mean, she's going through puberty, and I have to remind myself of that. My 13-year-old's going through it now, you know, and there's all this stuff going on in their body and, you know, and trying to find themselves and the stuff going on at school, and we just don't know, right? And I think that one thing I try to practice, which again, I'm pretty crappy at, especially with my oldest son for some reason, he pushes my buttons and I always walk away thinking, geez, you know, I teach this stuff. And in that particular relationship, I really have to work hard to sort of try and do what I'm about to tell you to do, is to not respond to the behavior or the words, but go beyond that and talk to the heart of your daughter or your son. And I think it's the same. This is the thing I can do very, very easily with everyone on the planet. For I find it a little harder and challenging with my eldest son. You know, and sometimes with Jen, you know, sometimes it's easier for me to, in any situation, to not get that emotionally involved. But, you know, I think it's really the question of not talking to the behavior and not responding or reacting, is probably a better word, to what's happening or what's coming out of their mouth. But what's beyond that? But there's a lot of great parenting books. There's a lot of great parenting coaches. And I think I'm not one of them for sure. But I do understand that, you know, creating space. Because I remember me as a kid, you know, why I became so angry was because I was always controlled and there wasn't that freedom. And, you know, your child's looking for an expression of freedom, but they're also looking for boundaries. So, you know, that sort of balance. I think Cesar Millan is probably one of the great parenting coaches of the world. If you ever watch Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, work with an animal, and you get this understanding of how the calm, assertive energy he talks about going into the dog, and how he can go with a wild dog that's just angry and vicious, and in seconds, the dog will succumb to his calm, assertive energy. So it's that sort of, and I think parents, if we all, myself included, you know, have that calm, assertive energy, then we're going to get better responses from our kids. But again, I'm certainly not an expert in that. So time for a song. Diddy. Do you want to dance under the moonlight? Just kiss me, baby, all through the night. Oh, baby, do you want to dance?
Come on, Janice.
Do you want to dance?
Squeeze me,
squeeze me all
through the night. She's a bit young for these.
I told you I used to dance on the ironing board. I grew up with the Beach Boys, baby.
All right.
Before I go on to the next question, I want to apologize to Melanie because I once again have mispronounced your last name and you even told me how to pronounce it. So Melanie Putz, I'm really... Butz. Butz? I'm so sorry. Okay, our next question. I just need to find it here, actually. We have so many questions this week. We're trying to weed through them and get through them as fast as possible. Andrew Eaton, I listen to the 5 Secrets That Are True show and have a question about the affirmation questions. When I ask myself, why is it so easy for me to attract great people in my life? Or why is it so easy for me to earn money by sharing my nutrition line? My internal response is, it isn't. If I believe that it isn't, and the evidence around me supports that, how do I change that response and the belief?
That is a great question, Andrew. And I know this isn't your first question. So, Andrew, look, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. You have to do this every day. And when you need to do it is when the doubt's there. So the affirmations, if you get up every single day and in your shower, you do your affirmations and do them every single day and every single night, it's only going to take a few minutes. Stand up straight, say them out loud, put your hand on your heart so you can feel the vibration and write, you know, 12, 15 affirmations out. What will happen is over time, you have to reprogram your brain. Your brain has these super highways that, you know, imagine these big, big highways, you know, like the 401 in Toronto, like 8 lanes. And quite often, because if we grow up with our negative input, our negative highways are so massive and our you know, self-belief, self-worth, self-love highways are so small. So we have to recondition ourselves with multiple mediums, meditation, like I talked about, you know, affirmations, like I talk about, vision boards, you know, but we've got to catch our brain at its job. It's, you know, that little negative voice is, no, you can't. Great. All right. And you start to focus on that. And then what you start to do is your energy will shift, as opposed to when you hear that doubt, you have to say, so why do I find it so hard to attract, you know, great people into my life? Why do I find it so easy to attract great people into my life? Why do I find it so easy to, and you've just got to drown the sucker out, because both of them are lies, right? At that point, but as you start to reprogram, and this is exactly what happened to me, suddenly I went from, you know, knowing nobody to having the who's who's list in my phone, you know, some of the great minds in the world. Now I can, many of them I call friends, and I can phone and we do phone each other and chat and, or, you know, I mean, it's just, but it's a science and it works, but we have to reprogram. So your brain has spent, you know, how old you are? You look like 38 or something, right? But that's a little tiny photograph, so you could be 26. You know, but Andrew, you know, you've spent a whole lifetime getting your brain to do this. And it's not going to take one affirmation before it turns back. So you got to do this on a daily basis. And that's what I did. I started to work on my brain. I started to reprogram it and tell it a new story. And now I believe it. It's bullshit, but I believe it. I mean, it's a better story to believe. And because I believe it, I have a different energy. I show up in the world differently and I attract different things. And people, when I'm around people, they feel this kind of, this energy that I put off and they like it. So more come. And when they come, you know, some of them I bill. Stuart Wilde says that. He says, you've got to raise your energy up so people are naturally attracted to you. And when they show up, bill them.
How much time do we have?
Oh, you're the timekeeper.
No, I'm not.
4 minutes. Hold on, let's have a song first. Backbeat, you can lose it. Any old time you use it. It's got to be rock and roll music. If you want to dance with me.
Took my loved one over across the tracks. Woo! So she could hear my man a wailing sound.
Jen's dancing.
I must admit the they twist. Have a rocking band. Man, they was blowing like a hurricane. Woo! One last quick question,
well,
there,
hold
honey.
On. Hold on, tell him where you are. Look up. It's the first time in the office. Look around. Look
me up. Look me up. I am. I'm looking through the eyes in the back of my head. We're back home in our beautiful new home, and we're getting ready to nest and settle and stay here and getting David's office officially set up so that we can have an official studio, so this whole setup is a little more user-friendly. All right, one last question for you, honey.
You didn't explain look behind you.
I'm sorry. Looking behind me, you can see Lake...
No. Wait, how do you feel when you look out there?
Grateful.
Ah, there you go. Good.
All tingly and skin bumpy.
Oh. Skin bumpy.
Goose flesh, I believe they call it in Australia.
Sexy.
Quick question to finish off from Michelle Eads. What's missing in your kick-ass life, David? Anything?
Oh, I don't know what's missing. Actually, there was another question. Who was it asked me about my nationality? You forgot that one. He asked three times. Was it Kevin? I remember some guy. I saw that
Kevin
one.
Kevin Gilbert.
Kevin, I'm not an Australian, mate. I'm not an Australian, but I sometimes get taken for one. But I have lots of Aussie friends. Hey, everyone in Australia. I have a lot of people who listen in Australia.
Hi.
Huge numbers come out of Australia, you know, because they like the old kick-ass life over there. But I am British originally, and I left. As a kid, I lived in Germany and Cyprus. So, you know, even though I grew up in England, I was out of England quite a bit. And then I left when I was 20. So I kind of like, I like to think of myself as a global citizen whose accent can change quite considerably depending on the day. You know what I'm saying? I could be a little Irish if I need it. I can go to a little French. Hello, how you doing? My name is Pierre the Great Fighter Pilot. Those of you that know that joke, you know exactly what I'm talking about. No, anyway, so there you go. And back to the question. What was the question?
What's missing from your kick-ass?
You know, I don't look at things as missing. What's evolving in the future of my kick-ass life? I think it's really this. I'd like to have a global impact.
I know what's missing.
What?
A dog.
This is a woman that's on a plane. And she keeps wanting to get a dog. And so she doesn't have time sometimes to feed herself. And then she wants a dog. Poor little thing. I told her we should get a stuffed dog. You know, she sort of stroke it. So it's like a long, shaggy, stuffed dog. And she can go stroke it and snuggle it, maybe.
Sorry, you were going to say something.
Thank you. I was in the middle of that. But thanks so much. Yeah, that completely buggered that up. nothing's missing, really. It's a question of what this constant evolution. You know, I think that it's, I always think life, well, I haven't always thought that, but life by design means that I create everything I want in my life. So, you know, this weekend we're having some friends over and, you know, we told you about Karen and her husband coming up, from Calgary, who we met on the show.
Should be here any minute.
Yeah. But you know, so we break bread a lot and have fiestas and we're at a party on Wednesday with friends of ours. You hear it, always hear it in my voice, right? When I've been up all night, and you know, so friends and having a lot of purpose in my life, you know, obviously I think everyone gets down to at some point that they want to live a life of purpose and legacy and contribution. I would say if we can contribute to one person's life, then it's been worth it. Right. So really nothing, that I can feel, I just know that I don't take it for granted that I'm going to be here tomorrow. And I think that probably, I've got a couple of things. You know, we really need to get more disciplined around our exercise. And that's something that we've both been talking about a lot. We have a beautiful gym in the basement here and that we've just set up. But it's actually going to use it, you know, and getting down there. And because that's something that part of my life that I really, I want to step into in this next chapter is having a very, very strong physical body. And, you know, right now I wouldn't look good in a thong. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, you would.
Thing-a-thong. Thing-a-thong. Thing out loud and thing out throng.
Depends on where you're from when you say thong. It could be shoes.
I know. But anyway, look at the time. You're 1 minute over. I hope that answered it, but nothing really. But yeah, exercise, a little bit more time for the quiet meditation. I do feel that at some point we'll probably put some more of a spiritual place in our home that we go to meditate. I mean, but we have that. I mean, it feels very spiritual all over the house, but I think that's something that we all need more of, just that quiet time. And so, yeah, with that being said, Jen Newman, what's missing in your life? Da 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 boom.
A doggy. Oh, I'm, what's missing? I just got cutting us off. Bye! See you on the other side.
I cracked the music up, goofing around to try and drown you out. So no one can hear you. What was missing?
Our home. We haven't set it up to be fully us just yet.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, you're up then. We're 2 minutes over now.
See you on the other side.
Yeah, thanks for all your questions, everyone. You know, and, you know, start thinking about them. Get more questions. Get more people contributing to the old question thing. And we will definitely see you on the other
side.
That was kick-ass.